Fans, great to have you back with us talking baseball on this Saturday night. Joining us, and it's a familiar name and a voice on our show and many shows around the country, he is the leading expert on the amateur draft and many things in the minor leagues as well. He writes for The Athletic now, and that is Keith Law. Keith, how are you?
I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. We're getting by, and this is a very unique time for you. And as I say, no one knows more about the draft, the amateur baseball draft, than you do. And I think as a foundation for the fans listening to the show, you're going to give us some of your top picks and the names that we're going to want to hear over the next month or so. Give us a little foundation of where we are with the draft and what baseball is doing and some of your thoughts about it.
Sure. So the biggest change to know is that the draft this year is just 5 rounds. So typically the draft runs 40 rounds. But of course, most of the best prospects are picked in the top couple of rounds anyway. But still, cutting from 40 to 5 is a huge drop, and it's going to hurt, I think, a lot of players. Now, on top of that, this draft class was already a very, very strong college class. That's not really typical because obviously so many great prospects sign out of high school typically. So the fact that this was kind of an epic college crop, at least in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of most of the scouts and executives I talked to, then we were going to see a college heavy first round. And now this new format and teams not having a lot of extra revenue this year, I think means we're going to see even more of a shift towards college players. We could see a record low number of high school pitchers selected in the first round, for example. And some high school position players who were maybe not quite first round good, but still legitimate prospects, may suddenly be faced with a higher likelihood or more desirable outcome to go to school, to go to college and try again next year if they go to junior college, or in 3 years if they go to a 4-year college. Because teams are not likely to spend extra money this year, and because what I keep hearing from scouts and scouting directors is they're really leaning college, and they're mostly leaning just towards a more conservative draft strategy overall.
Keith Law is with us of The Athletic. Keith, is part of the reason could be, I guess, that you haven't seen, I don't mean you, but the scouts haven't seen the high school season, where at least in the college players, they've had a good look at them for maybe 2 or 3 years. Or at least 2 years, maybe part of a third, and you get a better idea of the college players. That sound valid?
That is exactly right. I couldn't have phrased it any better. I did go out and try to see players early this year. I saw a couple of kids at the University of Georgia. I saw the lefty Asa Lacy at Texas A&M, Garrett Mitchell of UCLA. Saw a total of 3 high school games, and then the world ended. So, for example, the pitcher who plays about an hour and a quarter from where I live, Nick Bitsko in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, did not get into a game this spring. His schedule never started. He threw one bullpen for scouts, and that was the end of it. How could you go as a scouting director, go to your general manager and say, I want to pay this kid $3 million, oh, but we didn't see him pitch at all this year? And in Bitsko's case, he was a sophomore last year. He's graduating a year early, so the industry really didn't scout him that much last year either. It's a tough sell. And Bitsko will probably still get paid, but players who are maybe just one level below him are going to end up getting hurt.
Boy, very good. Interesting. And the other thing that got me is that after the first 5 rounds, any team can sign any player for $20,000. This sounds like 1958 again, 1962,
right.
where you're going to promise Deacon Jones a car. And they quick, crazy story, I'll tell you. Deacon Jones, he was a wonderful player in the 50s and was a scout for the Orioles in your area for many, many years. And he was signed by the White Sox. And he said to Frank Lane, who was the general manager, he said, and this is, of course, before the draft, he said, well, I want a car like yours. And Frank Lane gave him the keys to his Cadillac. And Deacon Jones drove away in the Cadillac. And of course,
I don't think he can do that anymore.
No. And of course, that was to keep you under the bonus. So in other words, he got under 4,000, so he wouldn't have to be on the roster, and drove away in the Cadillac, and nobody ever knew. So that's what we got going on. So what about it? How a team's going to, why wouldn't everyone sign with the best teams for 20,000 if that's the deal?
So the problem you're going to run into, so if you're not drafted in the top 5 rounds, it used to be if you were a high school player especially who demanded a lot of money, you could hope to slip to later in the draft and some team would take you late and then figure out how much money they had left in their bonus pool and overpay you. And guys could get several hundred thousand dollars, even a million plus, by doing that. That doesn't work this year. If you're not drafted in the top five rounds, you're stuck. You can't get more than 20 grand. And so a lot of those guys are just going to go to college. If you're a high school player of merit who has a decent college option, even if you don't actually, you could just go to junior college. You're not taken in the top five rounds. You're just going to go to school. And I have written a couple of places. I think this is going to be the one real beneficiary here is the junior colleges. And I like junior college baseball. I think it's a great option for a lot of kids who aren't ready for four-year college, don't qualify academically, can't afford to go away to a four-year college. By all means, the junior colleges, there are some great ones and great programs that have produced a lot of big leaguers. I think that's going to be a much more attractive option for these kids who aren't drafted, rather than signing for 20 grand, which is a lot less than what they would be worth in a normal year.
Boy, amazing. This is June 10th and 11th coming up.
Yeah, I think it's a few weeks.
Wow.
I'm not ready. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm not ready for it.
It's going to be very, very interesting. All right, let's look at some of the top players as you did your mock draft and The Athletic. And I know the Giants draft number 13, so we can jump to them in a little bit. But give us your time. Remember Asa Lacy? You did mention him. I've seen him before. Mm-hmm. But go ahead, give us your top five or six, and then we'll jump to the Giants.
So Spencer Torkelson and Austin Martin are the top two players in the draft. Asa Lacy is the top college pitcher. We could argue he should be in the discussion for the best player in the draft. Torkelson is a right-handed hitting first baseman from Arizona State. Some scouts think he's athletic enough to play left field, but he would be drafted for his bat, and he's going to go probably one or two. He is a hitter for average with huge power, pretty good plate discipline, but he's a right-handed hitter and a first baseman right now. The ceiling on those guys is a little bit limited, and of course your floor, if this guy doesn't hit like he's expected to, you don't have much of a big leaguer. David Cooper comes to mind as a first rounder out of the University of California, never hit like he was expected to, and ended up basically a non-prospect. His main competition is Austin Martin of Vanderbilt, the third baseman by trade. He was playing a little center field this year because he was having some throwing difficulties, but he's an electric player, tremendous bat speed, very, very high contact rates everywhere he's ever played, runs pretty well. He's a good defensive third baseman, if not for the throwing issues, and plays at Vanderbilt in the SEC in the best conference in all of college baseball. I think that's your 1-2 or your 2-1 in some order. Lacy is the best college position player. And I'll just throw one more name. Zach Veen is a high school outfielder from the East Coast of Florida near Daytona. I think he's the best high school position player in this draft class. Pretty athletic. Center field now, probably moves to a corner, but good swing, great projectable frame. Already has a good field of hit and is definitely going to come into some power. He may still not go in the top five picks. We may not see a high school player drafted until 7, 8, or even later because of what I mentioned earlier. Teams are just college, 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 especially at the top of the draft. Take the best college player, go safe, get him signed. They're not going to play this year anyway, but at least next year you've got a guy maybe who can go to high A or double A and get his career started quickly.
Boy, makes sense. Keith Law with us. Tigers get the first pick, Orioles second, Marlins third. Lacy could go to them, as Keith says. Royals fourth, Blue Jays fifth, Mariners sixth, the Pirates. Nick Gonzalez, I think I saw him on TV, and he looks like a Jose Altuve type, right? And he looks like a pretty I know Austin Martin is the best hitter in the draft, but this kid looks like he can hit too.
Yeah, he's an interesting one because he plays at New Mexico State, and they're in Las Cruces, which is about 3,000 feet above sea level. So he's put up some pretty silly numbers. He had a day this spring. He only played four weekends, but he had five homers in a doubleheader, and that certainly got a lot of folks' attention. What hurts him a little bit, he's primarily a second baseman. He's played some shortstop, but he's not playing there in pro ball. And when he's left New Mexico State, when they've played on the road, especially when they've played better competition, he hasn't been as good. They played Texas A&M in a series earlier this year, and he really didn't look good. And there's always a concern about those kids. DJ Peterson was one who came out of University of New Mexico. When they play at altitude as amateurs, what happens when they have to face pitching at sea level somewhere else? Breaking balls will break like they've typically not seen them before. And so I think Gonzalez still goes in the top 10. He's seen as a very, very safe pick, high floor guy, kind of like Nick Madrigal was a couple of years ago, California kid who ended up going to Oregon State, but a lower ceiling guy. And that probably pushes him out of the top 3, 4, maybe even 5 picks, because there are some college guys with more star potential ahead of him.
Oh, very good. All right, let's jump to the Giants at number 13. And we have a familiar name, at least the last name we've heard in Major League Baseball before. So go ahead.
Yep, Tyler Soderstrom, whose dad played in the big leagues for quite a while. I'm pretty sure I had a couple of his baseball cards when I was a kid. He's a catcher from Southern California, probably expected to go in the first round for sure. He'd be drafted for his bat. He is not being drafted as primarily as a catcher. He would be drafted wherever he goes. And like I said, he's going to go somewhere between, say, the Giants pick and maybe the mid-20s. He'd be drafted because of his bat, because teams feel pretty confident about his ability to hit. There's a non-zero chance he sticks at catcher, but also folks think he might be athletic enough maybe to go to third base, or if the bat really is what you think and he has to go to right field or something, there's certainly enough upside there. What I thought was interesting in my mock, as I was talking to teams, the two names who came up with the Giants were him and Garrett Crochet at University of Tennessee, college pitcher who throws extremely hard, maybe the hardest throwing college starter in the draft class. But Crochet only pitched once this spring. He had a back injury, made an unscheduled, unannounced relief appearance in the last weekend before the shutdown, threw 3+ innings. That's it. That's all anybody saw from him this year. And in the past, he's always done hard, but he's not shown much in the way of secondary stuff. And his control has been fine, but not great. And I just don't think you could find sort of two more different types of players for the Giants to target, but that's also why I gave credence to those rumors, saying, well, if the Giants are being attached to two players like this who are nothing alike, there's probably some fire where there's that smoke.
All right, boy, interesting. Hey, what are these guys doing now? Well, what if you wanted to see Crochet or Soderstrom? Can you see them? What are they doing?
Nope. Players are allowed to, they can have video, they can record themselves, you know, throwing, taking BP or throwing, you know, a side or something. But that's it. Scouts are actually not allowed to go see players. They're not allowed to do home visits even. The Major League Baseball has grounded the scouts since mid-March. So there's communication. Teams are doing Zoom calls with players. I mean, there's a player in my mock where I heard, oh, the GM did a couple of Zoom calls with that particular player. And I said, oh, well, okay, their interest is probably quite serious then. But that's it. There's really not much else you can do. And there was talk when the shutdown first happened, I spoke to some team executives in Major League Baseball. They were hoping this would the pandemic would be under control enough they could do some kind of scouting combine, but that faded pretty quickly. You still can't get people together. And so just to keep the playing field level, Major League Baseball said, that's it. Everybody stay home. We're just going to draft off of what we've already seen and the data that we've already collected.
Boy, this is going to be interesting. You've got quite a month ahead of you, and I can't wait to see what happens. And, of course, Hunter Bishop last year with the Giants, and Joey Bard, and, you know, there's a, you know, Logan, the guy from Louisville, the first baseman.
Logan Webb.
Yeah, Logan Webb.
Logan Wyatt.
Yeah. And Logan Webb's the pitcher.
And there were all these players, you know, Marco Luciano. Canario. I was excited to see all those guys. Ramos was going to make his U.S. debut this year. We're losing a lot, and the you know, no one's really anticipating a minor league season at this point, which is sad, but probably accurate. We lose a lot. We lose a lot as fans, and these players lose a lot. A lot of players who needed those at-bats or those innings don't get them. So they'll all be a year older, but they won't have gotten the year of development that they should have gotten.
Boy, interesting. Well, you're going to be busy. Love having you on, Keith, and we appreciate you taking the time and look forward to getting you on again when we get a little bit closer and see if we can fine-tune it better. But take care of yourself, and you do a great job, and I appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
All right, that is Keith Law of The Athletic. Boy, I love having him on. More coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.